We're almost to the end of spring training, and the Giants are rolling right now, boasting the best record in the Cactus League. But what does that really mean exactly? Like, will this translate to the regular season? Does this mean anything at all? And we're going to see if we can break down what the potential opening day roster might look like as we get closer. You know, it's right around the corner. I think we're only, 11 days out? So yeah, all this and more on this edition of Second and King. Welcome to Second and King, your one-stop shop for everything San Francisco Giants. And now, here's your host, Darius Long. All right, and we are back at it again for another edition of Second and King. Welcome back, everyone. I appreciate y'all tuning in again, once again, here on the podcast. Want to thank all of you, though, that have been checking out the last episode about the positional battles going on in spring training. That did very well. So I want to thank all of you who tuned into that, those who listen on YouTube, you are liked subscribing to the channel. I appreciate you, those listening on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well. The support really means a lot to me, as we continue to, just chug along here with this little podcast where I got going here, where I talk about the San Francisco Giants. But again, thank you. Thank you very much. It's very much appreciated. So Giants baseball right now. The Giants are, dare I say, fun right now. Like, they're fun to watch right now, at the time of this recording, they just wrapped up another game, spring training game, with a victory, no less. I have to mention that they beat the A's 7-3, the final score. I believe this is their 15th win this spring. They're 15-5 now, and it's been pretty cool to see, just how well they've been playing this spring, even though they're just exhibition games. But I think I'll talk about that right now. Like, so spring training it's just that, it's basically camp, before the regular season. Guys getting in tune, getting in rhythm, getting ready for the start of the regular season. They're all exhibition games, so these don't count towards anything. They're, I guess you can say, meaningless, but are they really in the grand scheme of things? Well, they're meaningless in terms of what they mean for the regular season, that's for sure. These aren't gonna, like I say, they're not gonna translate. You can't put these on, the win-loss record for the Giants this season. But hey, I think in some ways them playing as well as they are right now is beneficial and can only be beneficial going forward. And the reason I feel that way are a couple of things. Number one, I think when I think about the team, especially the last few years, and the last, I say maybe 2-3 seasons of Farhan Zaidi, is the vibes. And before I continue, I know that that's not a stat. I know that's not, anything intangible, that you can actually grasp onto. I know it's kind of just me talking about some kind of out of control thing that doesn't really fit the narrative of what it could actually mean, I guess, for the team long term in this grand scheme of things. I'm kind of rambling right now, but I understand that that might not be something that people can necessarily agree with. But I'm going to actually do my best to give credence to that. So when I mean vibes, I mean overall team chemistry. I mean, just how the team competes together as one. And I think that's very important, because the last three or so seasons under Farhan Zaidi, and I'm not blaming him for this, but I'm not blaming him either, because it just felt like there was a time during the course of those seasons, especially in the latter stages of those seasons, that the Giants were not playing their overall best baseball. And aside from just that, the guys felt checked out in some respects. Like some guys, like I think of Alex Wood and Ross Stripling, who were on the team at the time, were not exactly happy with their position on the team. They weren't happy with where they were, their lack of usage and things like that. And then there was a lot made of the overall team chemistry, the dynamic in the clubhouse. I can't remember the exact quote, but Logan Webb made a few interesting remarks in regards to that, you know. And I don't think he definitely wasn't trying to throw shade at any particular person, but I think given the way he was brought into the big leagues, you know, when he got here, guys like Belt, Crawford, and even Posey were still, you know, playing every day for the Giants. And those are guys that when you come up, given their track record, you kind of gravitate towards. And you know, Madison Bumgarner as well. You gravitate toward those guys because of what they've done, how they've carried themselves. They have a track record of success at this level in this organization. So yeah, Webby just took cues from them, as I think, you know, guys should do, you know. And I think pretty soon guys, if they haven't already, are taking cues from Logan Webb, you know, as they come up through the system and seeing what he's done so far. So I think team chemistry and just strong culture is definitely needed for this Giants club, because it feels like they've kind of been lacking in that for quite some time. And that's why I think having a veteran like Justin Verlander for the rotation can only be a good thing for guys like Kyle Harrison, Hayden Birdsong, Landon Roop, just to name a few. That's why I think bringing in somebody the quality of a Willy Adames, not just for what he does on the field with his defense and his bat, but what he does on the field. Like, we saw the reports, I mean, about Willy from his former teammates in Milwaukee, and not even just teammates, but just people in that organization that knew him, that not only were the Giants getting a special player on the field, but just a great clubhouse presence. And you can kind of already see it, you know, in the game that just happened today as I'm recording against the A's. Matt Chapman's on headset talking to Hunter Pence and Dwayne Kuiper, and you know, Willie comes over, you know, they're buddy buddy, you know, they're having, you know, good time, and it feels legit, you know. Like, I think his just energy, his infectious personality is rubbing off on a lot of his teammates, and I think it'll do this a lot of good for not just guys that have been here like a Chapman and things and people like that, but what it can do for young guys. When he was with his last year with the Brewers last season, you know, Jackson Churio, you know, stud, you know, top player now for the Brewers, just emerged on the scene, and he looks like a stud. He looks like he's going to be a great player for years to come. He made some comments in regards to what Willy meant to him and early in his career, you know, just being there and just the vibes he gave up. He made him feel comfortable, and Willy kind of just does that, you know. It's not something he actively goes out of his way to do. It's just who he is. And Buster Posey recognized that right away, and that's why Buster made it a point to zero in to bring Willie in to be the shortstop for the Giants, you know, because he feels like guys like him kind of feel like guys he's played with in the past. He like Hunter Pence, like Pablo Sandoval. He has that infectious personality, and he has that competitive edge to want to go out there and just play hard every day, you know, get the uniform dirty and just get after it, you know, like that's the kind of guys you want on your squad. And that's what Buster Posey was accustomed to, and that's what he wants to bring to this team. And it's interesting because I remember feeling the same way maybe a lot of you felt when you saw guys like Vogelsong and you know, all these other old faces from, you know, Giants past come through, you know. And remember there was a lot of rumors like, oh, what if they hire this guy and Buster hires him, and, you know, and all this stuff. And it just felt like, are we just bringing the band back together, you know, like what's going on? We're trying to build this team up for the future, I thought. And I was kind of skeptical at first, you know, given some of the decisions that were made. But I feel like the reason why a lot of those guys are around is because at some point during the Zaidi era, they kind of forgot what it meant to be a San Francisco Giant, you know, like what it meant to put on that uniform, run out that dugout, take the field every day and play Giants baseball. It felt like we had kind of lost our way, I guess you can say. Because another thing that happened when Farhan was here is in the clubhouse, there used to be like a memoriam, like there used to be like murals of such on the walls, you know, dedicated to the Giants of the 2010s, you know, or there might be a older Giants, but a lot of them were of the 2010s, the recent success years of championships. And I don't know if it was Farhan's call or whose call it was, but those things were removed during his tenure. And I remember Will Clark was not happy about that. He didn't like that. He didn't like Farhan at all, given interviews and things he spoke about him and things of that nature. But we're not talking about the thrill right now. We love Will here, but we'll touch on that some other time. But yeah, it felt like they were so ready to get away from that that they forgot who they are, in a sense. Like they just, the culture was gone, you know, and that is something Buster Posey has made it a point to bring back. And I think by bringing some of those guys back, it could have an adverse effect, like a positive effect on some young guys. We haven't, you know, we have yet to see if it translates to the regular season, but so far it seems like it's helping with a lot of guys on the team, especially the younger players who the Giants are going to lean heavy on this year. You know, this is a big evaluation period for some of them. And a lot of them, I think the Giants have faith or a belief that they could be very strong pieces for them this year. They can contribute to this team. So I'm not at all opposed to it as I was very skeptical, like I said. But it comes down to how this team, you know, how they fill out, you know, how they feel, how they look taking the field each day. And we want a fun team above all else. Like, we definitely want a winning team, don't get me wrong. We want to compete, we want a chance to make the playoffs and increase our chances of getting back to another World Series championship. But I think overall, if anything, if I had to, you know, if I could ask for one thing, I want this team to be fun again. Because even when they weren't winning all the time. Like, I think of 2011, like, that was a rough year for the fans, but I don't remember being bored with the Giants. I don't know how anybody else felt. They were in the playoff race all the way to, like, part of the end of the season before they finally flamed out. They just couldn't hang on anymore. That was the year Buster went down. They had a myriad of different injuries. But I was entertained. I think they led the league that year in walk-off wins. They were it wasn't easy. Like, this was the height of torture Giants baseball. They were tough to get through some of those games, you know, a lot of close one-run games. But, you know, they pulled a lot of those out, and they were still a fun team to watch. I think that's the thing that I want more than anything. I want to make the playoffs, and I want a chance to compete for championships more than anything else, rather. But I want to be able to watch the Giants and enjoy watching the Giants, you know? That's all I ask for sometimes. Like, even if I don't get the championships or the consistent playoffs, you know, like, give me a product that I feel comfortable taking time out of my day to watch, or give me a product that I feel comfortable dropping some money on. But for me, well, I mean, I'm just gonna drop money on the Giants regardless, because I love the Giants. That's just me. But that might not be for everybody, you know? That might not be the case for everybody. They might want something else. So, yeah. So, going back to my original point, can this strong spring be anything beneficial to the Giants? And I think in terms of building chemistry, rebuilding the Giants culture, and just getting guys in rhythm, that's what spring's all about. It can serve as a positive overall. Now, we just have to wait and see if they can have as strong a start to the season as they've had in spring. You know, that comes down to it. You know, hey, things can, you know, bottom out. They can probably lose their remaining spring training games. We are not sure. But right now, they're looking pretty good in just about every aspect you can think of, especially on the pitching side. Shouts out to the pitching coach for the Giants. I believe, what is his name? I always blank on the gentleman's name. He is now the pitching coach for the Giants. I know his first name is JP. Oh, JP Martinez. I feel bad now for not remembering his name. But yeah, so far the pitching has been a strength for the team. In the spring, JP Martinez has been talked about a lot and very rave reviews from a lot of people, especially like veterans like Justin Verlander. Like, they really have enjoyed his insight and picking his brain and what he brings to the table. So hopefully that's a sign of things to come, because given the amount of pitching depth that the Giants have, they need to really put that on display. Like, they need to make that their strength this year, because if they're gonna do anything this year very well, I think it would be pitching. So shouts out to JP Martinez for that, and hopefully the Giants pitching continues to flourish this year, because I think it's the strength for this Giants team. Oh, as well as the defense. Can't forget about the defense. I think the defense is going to be much improved. They did have a game, was it yesterday? It may have been yesterday, where they committed 3 errors. It wasn't pretty there. But overall, I think they have a shot to be one of the best defensive teams in the league, especially with that left side of the infield. Like, that's going to be tough for opposing hitters, I think. That's going to be like hitting into a brick wall with Matt Chapman at third and Willy Adames at shortstop, you know. So yeah, pitching and defense, that's how they got it done in the 2010s, man. So yeah, look forward to more of that. So yeah, that's kind of how I'm feeling about the Giants' strong spring training overall and what it could potentially mean for the regular season. But speaking of the regular season, I want to talk about what the potential opening day roster could look like, you know. And what I think they might do and what I think they should do kind of thing. So I'll kind of look at what I think what they might be thinking about doing and how I think that looks good and how I might switch some couple things around. So bringing up the roster, you know, so the rotation, I think, as it stands right now, given what we've seen so far in spring, we have our obvious ones. Logan Webb, he's the ace. He will get the opening day start. He gets the ball game one. That was announced weeks ago. That was a no-brainer that Bo Mel just said, yeah, he's the opening day starter. So Logan Webb, followed by Robbie Ray, Justin Verlander, Jordan Hicks. And then that fifth spot, when it comes down to it, even though there's been some really solid candidates there between Hayden Birdsong, Landon Roop, and Kyle Harrison, I think they might go Hayden Birdsong for that fifth spot, just because he's pitched, because even as well as Landon Roop has pitched, and, you know, I feel like there's still work to be done with Kyle Harrison, I think Hayden Birdsong gets that fifth spot. He's just looking really good right now this spring, and I think going back to what I talked about, I believe it was episode 2, and then I brought it up again in the last episode, given he has a more fully fleshed out pitch mix, gives me confidence that he could do better in that spot, in that fifth spot in the rotation. So I'm thinking they say Hayden Birdsong. We get to the position player side of things. With catcher, got Patrick Bailey. He'll be manning catcher most of the time, followed by Sam Huff. He will be his backup. First base, we have the returning platoon of Wade and Flores. Second base, Tyler Fitzgerald. Shortstop, Willy Adames. Matt Chapman at third. Outfield, we have Ramos, Lee, Yastrzemski. You got Luis Matos. I think he'll be the fourth outfielder. Casey Schmidt, I think he's had a pretty strong spring himself. He made a really fantastic play today in the game. I had to double take to make sure it wasn't Matt Chapman at third, which was hilarious because when Casey made this play, Chapman is on a headset talking to Hunter Pence and Dwayne Kuiper. But he made such a Matt Chapman-esque play at third with a nice sliding stop, gets up, spins, and throws a just strike to first to get the put out. Just an amazing play. And it's things like that with Casey Schmidt and his ceiling that I think he gets that backup infield spot over Brett Wisely. And oh, I almost forgot the big man, Gerard Encarnacion. Love saying that name, Gerard. You know, I can roll my R's a little bit, not too good, but yeah. And he, you know, he can fight for real estate on the team and starts with for the DH spot, first base, and maybe an occasional outfield spot, but they may want to refrain from putting him out there. And then you have the bullpen, and I think we're looking at Ryan Walker, Camilo Doval, Tyler Rogers, Eric Miller, the lone lefty, Landon Roop. I have, so if Roop doesn't make the rotation, I can see him being slotted into the bullpen. Then we have Sean Jelly, Lou Trevino, who I think might make the team, given that backup catcher Tom Murphy is uncertain right now with his status. He has the herniated disc in his back, and I think I think that opens the door for somebody on the team. I looked at Joey Lucchese, Max Stassi as well, who's had a solid spring, but I think Stassi can be stashed away in AAA, and you know, you can add him if needed. Lucchese, I'm not sure about, because it kind of depends, because do they want another lefty to commit to put with Eric Miller to compliment him, or do they just go with the best overall option, you know? And that could be Lou Trevino. You know, Trevino and Lucchese have not given up earned runs this spring, and both have appeared in at least 5 or 6 games. So given the injury to Murphy, and odds are he's going to start the year on the injured list, I can see the Giants using that as an opportunity for either, and I'm going to lean more pitching. I think it's either Trevino or Lucchese who gets in based off of that injury. And then I think Randy Rodriguez rounds out the bullpen. The bullpen was actually kind of tough when I look at who they might, you know, slot in there and who I think might slide in there. This comes down to the pitching depth we were talking about with the Giants. So I had a thought. You know, we're talking about the Giants rotation and everything. And right before I started recording, I was scrolling on Twitter, and I want to shout out real quick the Even Year Dynasty Show podcast. Cody, Dan, Ricky, them boys, you know, they do their thing over there, man. They are, for my money, the best San Francisco Giants podcast out there. If you haven't heard them, I don't know how you haven't if you're a Giants fan, but definitely check them out if you haven't. They have a lot of videos talking about a ton of different topics that go live every Friday. They've even interviewed a lot of prospects in the Giants system. Their last one, at least I think it was their last one, but the one that I recently have checked out is their one of Jeremiah Jenkins. But yeah, shouts out to them. Before I started recording, Cody tweeted this from the Even Your Dynasty show account, and he says, in regards to Jordan Hicks, what has he done to actually earn being handed a starting spot? He absolutely should be forced to compete, and if we're ranking the four people that should have been competing for two spots, he's at best third, a mile behind the other two. And I gotta say, I personally agree with that, because he was given the starting spot. He was already guaranteed a spot in the rotation, given that he was brought in, you know, when he signed that 4-year deal with the Giants last offseason, he was going to get a chance to start, you know, by Farhan. And I guess Buster wants to continue to live up to that promise. But my thing is, you don't have to live up to that promise, Buster, because you didn't make it. Farhan did. The guy that made that promise is not here anymore. So you don't even have to adhere to it if you don't want to. And I've seen people also talk about the financial commitment to him. Well, he's got the 4-year, $44 million deal. He's owed $11 million in 2025. And to that I say, so what? So he's making $11 million, and you know, we're talking about putting him in the bullpen. Big deal. Using that logic, you know, if we're going to talk about, well, the financial commitment is too great. Okay, well, here we go. I have a list right now of relievers in the big leagues. And look, some of them make roughly around, some even make more than Jordan Hicks. Like Tanner Scott, he just got the 4-year deal with the Dodgers. He's making $18 million per year. Clay Holmes, he's getting $12.6 million per year from the Mets. And then you go Trevor Hoffman, Carlos Estevez, Blake Treinen, AJ Minter. They're all making roughly around the same amount as Jordan Hicks, $11 million. So it's not even like him being put in the bullpen will look weird. Like, we have an overpaid reliever there. He's right in line with what he should be making given, you know, the reliever market. So I don't buy the financial commitment, you know, spiel or, you know, that defense, because he's not even making what a top line pitcher or even a mid tier pitcher would be, you know, making. Like, it wouldn't, what I'm saying is it wouldn't be weird to just slot him in the bullpen just given his contract. His contract's not that outrageous, you know, so you can definitely put him in the bullpen and it wouldn't even matter. But I can't, for me personally, Hicks hasn't proven himself enough to be a integral part of this Giants rotation. I just don't see it. Like, he struggled a lot with not just command, but like just getting through five innings last year. Like, it was a slog for him. So I agree with Cody's sentiment. I would have him in competition too for a rotation spot, because I'll show you what I have, what I think the starting rotation should be. I have Logan Webb, Robbie Ray, Justin Verlander, and then after that, I kind of shook it up. I went 4 Hayden Birdsong, and then 5 Landon Roop. And then I have Jordan Hicks going to the bullpen. And I guess either maybe Sean Jelly or Randy Rodriguez, one of those would be the odd man out, because the Giants are looking for, I think the Giants like Trevino for, you know, being a veteran and he's looked good so far. They're looking for somebody in that bullpen, especially in the back end, to help be that bridge to Ryan Walker with, you know, Tyler Rogers, whether that be Camilo Doval. They want somebody in that middle spot to get out, and that could be Trevino. That could even be Jordan Hicks potentially, you know. So I don't buy this whole he was given the opportunity, he was promised an opportunity for the starting rotation and all this, and his contract dictates that. His contract doesn't dictate anything. His performance on the field should dictate that. That's what it always has been, you know. Like, the performance on the field should dictate how you are slotted on the team. And if they feel like he is a net negative for them in the rotation, but he definitely can be a piece and be a strong contributor for the bullpen, then he has no right to complain. And I think, honestly, that might be the best position for him when it's all said and done. I still feel that way. Like, when they signed him and he started off really well, I was excited about the prospect of having him be in the rotation. But then, as we saw, there's a reason why he has been a reliever for so long. You know, he just doesn't have the ability to go long and eat up innings. So I would think, in the best interest of the team, I would put Jordan Hicks in the bullpen, and I have Hayden Birdsong and Landon Roop round out the starting rotation. But those are just my thoughts on that. I feel like I've rambled quite a bit here, so I think we'll wrap it up here on this edition of Second and King. Thank you guys again for rocking with the channel, rocking with the podcast. If you could be so kind, if you are listening to this on YouTube, please drop a like. If you haven't subscribed to the channel, please subscribe. You know, it helps me, it helps the channel get recognized, gets us into the old algorithm, as they say. But and if you have any like comments, you know, please just, you know, put them in underneath the video here, and I would love to hear them, because I love talking, you know, Giants with you guys. Maybe you have a different sub opinion when it comes to the spring training results, or what I had to say about the starting rotation in regards to Jordan Hicks. I would love to hear it. And for those of you listening on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and review. It helps the podcast out there. Really appreciate your guys' support. Yep, that's going to do it. I'm going to wrap this up right here. Thank you again for joining us for another, joining me for another edition of Second and King. I've been your host, Darius Lott. And as always, go Giants.